Greetings, and welcome to Etzheim's Weekly Podcast, recorded live in Richardson, Texas. We invite you now to join us for one of our synagogue's Shabbat messages.
Wow. Whoops. I didn't know that I'm so strong. So good to be with you. Actually, in my last two visits, I had a miscommunication with David Schiller. And I thought, what, he stopped loving me? Why he doesn't call me again to come, you know? But it happened that he changed his email address, I didn't know. So for the last time, two times, I missed you. So it's so good to be here again in this house of God. We love being here. And today it's different than other times. Naturally, because of what's happening in down there, I should say up there. This is down. Up there in Israel, actually, half of our hearts, or more than half of our hearts, she's even more hurting to be here than me, you know, but we both are very, very hurting to be here at this time. Actually, I know for an American ear, it sounds maybe strange, but we would much rather be in the bomb shelters right now with our people and go and comfort the people and make cookies to them and Gabi playing the harp than being here. But I will let Gabi, she has something on her heart, and then we will start.
Well, Shabbat Shalom. So wonderful to see so many familiar faces and new faces again this morning. As Rami said, half of our heart is in Israel. It's a very tough time to be there, but also it's the best time to be there because there is such solidarity in the land and such love flowing that almost all the cultural gaps are mended at this time. You know, there's no gap between Messianic Jews and the people, or the religious and the non-religious. And even at this time, also some Arabs stand up and say, we stand with Israel. It's as if the Lord brings the giants to the light. And I know so many friends, they're just busy making cookies and muffins. And I have another friend, she just went to roll cigarettes to the soldiers as a contribution to the war. Everyone helps each other. And that's wonderful. So, I feel in my spirit that the Lord has done a shift in the heavenlies. And I wouldn't be surprised if those blood moons are ushering a change in. I feel at this very time, actually, that the Lord is pulling the plumb line. It's not anymore a time to be lukewarm. It's not anymore a time to be neutral. As many of you know, I'm born in Switzerland. I'm the most uncontroversial person and neutral, but I feel this is the time, guys, to stand up. Because our battle is not about a piece of real estate. Our battle is about right and wrong, good and evil, light and darkness, life and death, about the God of Israel and Islam. And I want to tell you today, we do love the Arab people, but we hate Islam. Because it is the manifestation of the devil on the earth today. And if you don't believe it, I would just like to quote a little testimony of a soldier.
Wounded soldier.
Which has been wounded in Gaza. And these are his words. Let him speak. We went into
Sajaya.
It's a city there. To discover and destroy the Hamas terrorist tunnels. We discovered there an entire underground city with multi-shaft wide tunnels, with Wi-Fi, air conditioning system, concrete walls, and stocked to the ceiling with weapons and explosives. Some of the tunnels are so wide that they can ride back and forth, forwards on Vespa scooters. And then came the worst. The Hamas fighters started sending towards us 13 and 14 year old Palestinian children running at us wearing explosive laden suicide bomber belts. Those children were death trapped and became human bombs by the community's adults. We were trained to fight adult soldiers or any other skilled adults, enabling us to defend our families and countrymen. But this, we had no other option but in self-defense to shoot them at as far a range from us as we could before the responsible adult that sent them used his mobile phone to detonate the belts and kill us. One of the injured soldiers ended up by saying, "I do not know if I'll ever be able to sleep again. The pictures of those poor children killed by my gun will properly never leave me." And today I want to ask, has the world gone insane? Yeah. I'm listening to CNN and they speak about the poor children we killed. Don't they care what Islam is doing to their children? That's one example of many, not speaking about the 7-year girls who have to get married to this. Animals would be a disgrace for the animals, sorry to tell you. So I would like to tell you today, America, wake up. You are next in line. If you think you'll escape that battle, I tell you, you won't. Because Islam is invading you right now. And I want to tell you today, you are our soldiers who fight the spiritual war because our battle is not against flesh and blood. And I want to encourage you to stand up and to pray and intercede. I feel the very plumb line which is pulled right now is over Israel. And I know I speak to the choir. We need to take a stand for good or evil, and I believe this is worth dying for.
Thank you. Yeah, now you can see why I love her so much. She's my best friend. We did not have easy years together. We are celebrating, actually, in July 6th, this one. Are we still in July? Yeah. was our anniversary, 30th. She spoke with you about day and light, you know, good and evil. As far as character wise and the upbringing wise, this was between us. I mean, but now we are best friends because we are leaning on the pillar Yeshua. On the third person in our marriage, first person. And that's why we are still married, and it's a miracle by itself. I love you. Happy anniversary. Yeah, actually, Gabi is multi-talented, and this is not a propaganda. I don't like to do business on Shabbat. It's a holy Sabbath. But honestly, you will be blessed if you get her music. And you don't need to do it at Oneg or today or tomorrow. It's all on the website. But usually she comes with her harp, you know, wherever I'm preaching, you know, you can go on my website and see it, you know, and she prepares the heart, yeah, for his message through me by his grace. Today I want to do it differently. I want to show you a video, musical video, which was done by friends of us in Israel. For one of the songs, one of the 12 songs on her last new CD. Some of you already bought it, Lovesick, okay, based on Song of Songs, Song of Solomon's. And it is called Vidui, it's in Hebrew, it is sung, it was written by Gabi, but it is sung by a dear friend, ex-neighbor of us, who is not messianic, but guess what, the Jews have it in their genes. He comes from a God-fearing family, and you will enjoy his voice. And don't worry, you do not understand Hebrew. You have English titles. Hopefully everything will work nicely. And let us open our hearts and see how this song, which was written a year ago or so, fits our time. and pray that it will spread like I don't know what throughout the world, you know. Most of the CD speaks to our times, the Love Sick CD. So why don't we turn the lights off or whatever and put it, please. Vidui, confession. Please open your Bibles to Zechariah 14. Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, and your spoil will be divided in your midst. He speaks to Jerusalem. For I will gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem. All means all, including the United States of America, which is not our friend already many, 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 too many years. Actually, the decline with the relationship between Israel and the United States started already, if you ask me, don't need to get to take everything that I tell you, okay, I'm just a human being, I can err, but already in Jimmy Carter's, you know, and continued through the years, through the last decades, and of course Obama just continues with what his previous did, you know. I mean, the two-state solution is, after all, a formula invented by George Bush Jr., if you didn't know. Yep. All means all. It does not mean that there will be 2 billion or 3 billion army soldiers, you know, surrounding Jerusalem. It cannot be, you know, space-wise. But all in the Bible never meant all, every individual. When Solomon, King Solomon, rededicated temple, or not rededicated, sorry, built his first temple, yeah, and he dedicates it, First Kings 7, 8, 9, yeah, actually it says that all Israel were gathered there. Friends, you know the topography, the geography of Israel. I'm a tour guide, I can tell you. Before Herod the Great changed the and made the Temple Mount into a platform, you could hardly have there a few thousand. Okay? And I'm generous. How can all Israel, a few millions, be present when Solomon dedicated the temple that he just built? No! It's every individual at the given time, at the given place. Are you with me? So America doesn't need to be there surrounding the city of Jerusalem. But America can only vote for others to attack to Israel, and they're already included in the all. Are you with me? For I, God, will gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem. Why Jerusalem? You know my teachings. The beginning and the end are the same. Why Yeshua died in Jerusalem? Because it was in Jerusalem that first Adam lost his glory. It's cyclical. Garden of Eden, stop looking at it in the back of your study Bibles and see that it's in Iraq. This is nonsense. It's Jerusalem. It's the very Temple Mount which is defiled today. Where is Jerusalem, the heavenly, going to descend to? To earthly Jerusalem. Because once upon a time, many years, too many years ago, there was a complete harmony between the creator, the spiritual, and the fleshly, the creation. They walked together. They were like this. And God promises us that one day it will be again the same. That's why second Adam needed to come to reverse the process which started with first Adam. Are you with me? First Adam was kicked out of the Temple Mount, out to the east, Babylon. Abraham is called back to the land. We are sons of Abraham. We are all, whether spiritual or physically, need to focus our eyes at Jerusalem. Like Daniel did it, against the rules of his time. The city shall be taken, the houses refled or rifled, and the woman ravished or raped in Ebu. Half of the city shall go into captivity, but the remnant of the people shall not be cut from the city. Beloved, till this very verse, this scripture was fulfilled at least twice. At least twice. Babylon, remember? The Babylonians surrounded, and Babylon is not only Babylon. It was an empire. It was all nations. Are you with me? Back then, which agreed, they voted in the United, in their United Nothing, UN, in the unnecessary, against Israel. So they were united. It was all nations represented by Babylon. Babylon is all the world today. And they were gathered against Jerusalem, and they did destroy Jerusalem, including the temple. And then the Romans again. And I believe in three fulfillments. I just love patterns in the Bible. Scriptures are, or prophecies are, have more than one fulfillment. They have multiple fulfillments. And each time, a prophecy like this one, Zechariah 14, each time it is fulfilled again, more details of the original prophecy are fulfilled. Are you with me? So far, till verse, where were we? Two. Verse 1 and 2, well, we're already fulfilled. God did gather all the nations against Israel twice already. Are you with me? But not the following verses, which are, in my humble opinion, going to be fulfilled in our very, very generation. And I don't have time to get too much into it, into why I think like this. Then the Lord, verse 3, Zechariah 14, verse 3, then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. He did not do it with the Babylonians. He allowed them to destroy the temple. He did not do it with Titus, the Romans. He allowed them. So this was not fulfilled. Yes, hallelujah, it will. Verse 1 will be again fulfilled. Verse 2 will be again. But guess what? The rest of the verses will be fulfilled as well. Folks, we are living in very, very interesting times. And so you will see the application of what it means as far as it concerns us sitting here in this room. The Lord, verse 4, and in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives. Did this happen before? Which faces Jerusalem to the on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall be split into two from east to west, etc. This was not happened. Yes, I take it literally. You know why? One of the reasons that I take it literally? Because in this context, it speaks about the earthquake, the Rash in Hebrew, in Uzziah time. Keep continuing, reading this chapter and you will see what I'm talking about. I do believe that an earthquake will put an end, will split. Kind, by the way, it will split the Mount of Olives into two, but the main thing will be, you got it. The pagan shrines will go down. And then the river of living water could come, flow in two directions. And one direction will be east, reviving the Dead Sea. Make the Dead Sea sweet again. Or at least bearable for fish to live in. Half of the mountain shall move towards the north and half of it towards the south. I want you to go with me to the... Okay, you know what? We'll read it. Then you shall flee through my mountain valley, for the mountain valley shall reach to Azael, Atzal actually, in Hebrew. Yes, you shall flee as you fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, the king of Judah. Thus the Lord, my God, will come, and all saints with you. Will you be part of them? Will I be part of them? I need your prayers, as you need my prayers. We are in the same boat. God forbid that we are on the wrong boat. There are many boats over there. Soon I will be more specific. I will not leave you like this. It shall come to pass in that day that those who will... Okay. Verse 8. And in that day it shall be that living waters shall flow from Jerusalem, half of them towards the eastern sea and half of them towards the western sea. In both summer and winter it shall occur. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day it shall be the Lord is one and his name one. People will stop to divide him into many gods. He never wanted you to divide him. There is one God. Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, the God of Israel. And he will appear again as the king of the earth to establish his millennial Sabbath kingdom. A day is like 1,000 years. 1,000 years like a day. Yeah. It is correlates to the, correlating to the days of creation, beloved. But let's pick up this story in a different place. Maybe surprising for some of you. We know. If you don't know, something is wrong with you. If you do not know that those events that just described here, not I, Zechariah, are happening before our very eyes. For the last few decades, Gaza is only a symptom. For the last few decades, Israel is demonized. Israel is delegitimized, yeah? You know what I mean, yeah? Israel is looked down as the devil himself. By the way, some segments of Islam, you are the big Satan, and we are the little one. If you want more details about it, again, I'm not trying to propagate myself, it probably will be recorded also, but after this teaching, I'm running to Fort Worth because I start teaching and there in much, much more depth the current situation, how it relates to the portion of the week and more with PowerPoint presentation. If you would like to join, probably the worship will start 2 o'clock and talking will start, which will be long, 2 hours talk I will give. It will be a 3 o'clock probably, approximately. If you want to worship the Lord, 2 o'clock, I have no idea where it is. It's in Fort Worth, in a Lutheran church. I still need to get... Do you know? Did you read my schedule? Anyway, but if you want, you can get into more depth about what's going on since last decades, yeah? But guess what? Friends, you need to open your spiritual eyes. Not only your physical eyes. In the physical, you need to be stupid not to understand that the world is turning against God's people. But woe to you if you will stay with your, if you look at world events through your physical eyes, because this will get you into deep depression. Even if you don't have a tendency to get depressed, you will. If you are sensitive, you will. Because there is so unrighteousness going on. Gabi just read one of them. This is just a little thing, yeah? And we are blamed for all the world's problems. Guess what? Remove Israel from the face of the earth and hallelujah, peace on earth. It will be peace. Peace by peace, they will cut your throat. And they will divide your bodies like they do already in Iraq, ISIS. Yeah. In Rwanda, in wherever, name it, don't claim it. It's crazy what's happening in the world. Yeah. But how does it relate to us? How shall we act in this terrible context? End time context. Turn with me to Matthew. Matthew 25. Matthew 25, as you get there, actually back then there were no chapters, verses, okay? I mean, it was in a Megillah, in a scroll, yeah? And you would need to find it, okay? And many knew the Bible by heart. not only the names and the numbers of the books, but they knew actually they recited all the Bible, or most of it. So chapter 25 of the Gospel of Matthew is directly connected to, guess what? Big revelation, to the previous chapter. Chapter 24. And chapter 24 starts what theologian calls the Mount or Mount Olivet or the Olivet Discourse. Because Yeshua was on the Mount of Olives when he spoke those things. End time words, end time prophecy. Guess what? I'm not going to speak about nation will rise against nation, no rumors of war. No! I want to see how Yeshua or what Yeshua expects us to do in order to be in his sheep company, the company of the great shepherd. Amen. So turn with me, please, to verse 31, Matthew 25:31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. Beloved, will you agree with me that it has some connection, lots of connection, direct connection to what we just read in Zechariah 14? Yeshua is coming to Jerusalem to establish his throne. I don't believe it speaks about throne in heaven because the context is he comes to Jerusalem. Because they ask him, when? Show us, tell us, when will be all those things? What is the sign of your coming? He doesn't need to come to heaven. He's already there. Okay? He is coming here to establish his throne, thank God. And look what the first thing that he is doing. All the nations, which nations? Which came against Israel. And actually those are the leftovers because God is going to judge them severely. Actually, in some other scriptures, it will take 7 months to bury their bodies. There will be barbecue, meat on the mountains of Israel. I'm talking about the birds of prey. God will call the birds to eat their bodies. Read Ezekiel. Terrible context. But some of them, of course, will remain. And even them, he is going to separate. All the nations will gather before him and he will separate them from one another. By the way, nations, ethnos, does not mean necessarily the nation of America, the American nation, Jewish nation. It's tribes most, it's black people, rednecks, name it, Indians, Jews. Are you with me? Actually, he's going to, like a shepherd, to separate between them individually. As a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats, and he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Where would you, sitting here, would like to be placed when he comes? On his right or on his left? Among the sheep or among the goats? Then the King Yeshua will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. The context is the kingdom of Israel, for those of you who do not know. Lord, is it in this time that you are going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He is asked by his disciples, in his first coming, when he was just before he was ascended to heaven, Acts chapter 1, it's not for you to know times and seasons. Are you with me? This is on earth. For why are they? What makes them worthy of his kingdom? Of course, the blood of the Lamb, okay? But guess what? The blood of the Lamb will not be enough, will not be sufficient if you don't apply it in your life after you say the sinner prayer. Are you with me? So I don't care what you are taught in your churches or synagogues. I like to teach the Bible. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer, I love it. Answer him saying, but before, do you remember Yeshua said concerning righteousness, you know, righteous deeds, mitzvot, good deeds, let not your right hand know what the left hand does. Are you with me? Don't do it to show off. Because then you get your reward here. From people. Believe me, the reward from people is not worthy. It stays for one day, 2 days, and then they forget you. With God, it's different. I love their answer. You know, many people preach to us, Yeshua should be your second nature. Excuse me? Why not the first nature? After all, didn't we die in baptism? And do we not carry the cross daily? Crucifixion, execution to the self, self-ambition, everything which is self needs to be crucified daily. Are you with me? So, what is your nature if you are crucified and you are dead? It's Yeshua. What did Yeshua do when he was here? Did he speak about doctrines? Did he try to improve Judaism? Did he invent a new religion system called Christianity? Was Islam in his mind? Of course not. None of the above. Don't check it. Beloved, Yeshua came to reverse the curse, the second Adam, to bring us back to the pre-sin garden conditions. Garden of Eden, Jerusalem, I believe. Beloved, what did Yeshua do if he didn't do all the rest? He fed the poor. Remember? Multiplied the food. Yeah. He healed the sick. He visited those who were in distress. Rami, well. Who was in distress that he visited? The harlots, drug addicts. I mean, you know, I'm applying it a little bit to our situation. Beloved, he sat with sinners. Why do you think he said? To have good time and give me a good cigar? No, to heal them, to attend to their needs. And here, those righteous people, it is a first nature for them. They don't even know what he's talking about. Excuse me, you are in heaven, you just came from heaven, descended with your holy angels, and you talk with us about, where did we see you in prison? Yes, we remember, we don't know what our right hand does, you know. I mean, of course we fed, of course, I mean, but to you? Did we do all those things to you? Oh, yep. Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you to drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in? Or naked and clothed you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, in as much as you did it to one of the least of those, my brethren, you did it to me. Too many years, those verses were taken out of context. And thus you had multiple ministries in the church. Feed the poor, go to prison ministry, right? All are good. Hallelujah. But out of context. Because the context is, it's on the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem. The context is, whenever you see Yeshua speaks about my little brethren, it speaks about the Jews. Now tell me, and if you want to get into it in more depth, come to my teaching next. Okay? Because I'm going to show, oh, it won't be a hard message. I need your prayer. Because I get into anti-Semitism and its ugly, deep roots. And how they infiltrated the church. And I'm going to show it in the face of the people. And quote church fathers, what they said about the Jews. Completely opposite of what we just read. How many in the church feed the Jews when they were dispersed during the last 2,000 years? Oh, Rami, but the Jews, they had their own kingdom among the nations. They were strong. They had nuclear bombs. You know, they did not need our help. Really? You're ignorant to say the least. Jews were persecuted. They were put in prison. They were forced to kiss the cross only to avoid a terrible death. Talking about the Inquisition in Spain. You know, if they kiss the cross, they could die normally. If not, burning on the stake. So many horrible things were done in the name of Christ. Where do you think all those people are going to find themselves in that terrible day? Among the goats or among the sheep? Yeah, of course, among the goats. Unfortunately, terribly. It's tragic. Beloved, we are living in very interesting times. Because, like I will say, Lord willing, this afternoon to the other audience, God is a sovereign God. Do you believe it? Do you believe that God was taken aback and surprised when Obama got into his second term? Don't be spiritually idiots. No! I talked about spiritual stupidity. God is the one who raises kings and puts them down according to my Bible at least. Don't get panicking about things that you should not get panicking. Don't get panicking at all, by the way. You need to rejoice and have his peace in you as your first nature. But friends, as a sovereign God, and among you, I'm sure some Gentiles are sitting. This is wonderful for you. God had you Gentiles long before the foundation of the earth in his mind to be seated here today as equal citizens of the kingdom. And guess why I say it? Because God used the stupidity, spiritual. You can have PhD from this and that university, Howard University, and be as dummy as, I don't know what, 6 years old, have more brain than you. I'm not talking about intellect. I'm not talking about the soulish level. I'm talking about the spiritual level, which is much higher and better. And that's where Yeshua wants to draw us to the spiritual level, beloved. Where was God in all those persecutions? In all those goaty things that were done to his little brethren? Oh, I want to give you revelation. He was still on his throne. He was not taken aback. He was not surprised. But rather used it to thicken and thicken and thicken even more the veil which he put on his people. Because if this is the Christ that you show us, you Inquisition, Crusaders, Church Fathers, name it, Hitler. If this is the Christ, we do not want him. And we do not rightfully want to convert to Christianity. Right. You say that's right. But why did God allow it? Gentile, the door is still open. Gentile, come in. Romans 11. He allowed the Gentiles in his wisdom. As the veil was thickening and thickened and thickened more and more, he allowed more Gentiles till the fullness of the Gentiles are in. And then the door will be shut. And then they will see whom they have pierced. Zechariah, the same book, chapter 12, I think verse 10. Yeah. Beloved, God in his wisdom knew all of the things. He knew that when the people of Israel were standing down below at Mount Sinai, that they will break it. He said it then. Yes or no? Actually, he didn't need to say it. Did they follow the Ten Commandments after they just heard them? No, they rather build themselves a golden calf and hoopla hula around it. Yes or no? The human heart is evil, friends. It's deceitful. It's deceiving. I mean, don't trust your own hearts. Don't trust your own judgments, beloved. And don't try to be great theologians. Please. Going to this or that seminary will not make you better sheep. It may be, it has the danger to put you in the goat side, because now you know the Bible. Now you know everything. Now you know this and that knowledge puffs up. So what shall we do in those terrible times that we are living in, when Israel is more and more demonized? The little brethren of Yeshua, if you forgot. How can we act? How can we be light and salt in this terrible world, which is going to be more and more terrible? It's not going to be better. Because Yeshua said in his own words, if the days would not be shortened, not even one flesh would remain. So don't think it's going to be better. Not in America, nor in Israel. As much as it's painful for me and Gabby to be here while it's happening there, this is only the little taste of what is going to be. That's why the song that we put is very important. Let us cleanse ourselves first and then become sheep. You do not need to be smart to feed the poor, especially if you have poor Jews around you. You do not need to have a PhD in theology to visit the sick. Are you with me? To clothe the naked. And guess what? In end time context, history is going to repeat. Who were the ones who were so persecuted, naked, skinny, like I don't know what, because they didn't eat for days and weeks and months, dying from hunger, putting in cells, putting in ghettos, being shot at, driven into the gas chambers. Oh! The Jews. It might happen again. On a different soil this time. When you think you stand, watch it. You will have enough of Yeshua's little brethren to take care of. But guess what? It might cost you your very lives. I repeat, it might cost you your very lives as it cost the 22 or 24,000 registered righteous Gentiles who helped the Jews in the Holocaust. We are familiar with Oskar Schindler. What about Corrie ten Boom? What about others who gave literally their lives? Because they hid the Jews. Because they gave them protection. Because they fed them. Because they clothed them. And they even didn't think about, oh, heavenly reward when it comes. Because this was their first nature. Because the Spirit of the living God was with pumping in them. Because they did not quench it with theologies and with being smarty or with career or better job. Friends, like Gabby, my sweet wife, said, the plumb line is already here. I believe with all of my heart that the process of separating between the sheep and the goats in the heavenlies started already to happen. Are you with me? You will need to decide with whom you are siding. With the sheep, Yeshua, little brethren, or with the goats, all the other nations, because it won't be such an in to love the Jews. Are you with me? It wouldn't be in to associate even with Israel, or to write on your Facebook something for Israel. It's still allowed, thank God, now. But guess what? Times are coming that persecutions will go, anti-Semitism will go so high, rocketly high, and you will not be quick to post something on your Facebook anymore, which will be pro-Israel. Because people will find you. I tell you, the one who does not carry his cross daily and follow me is not worthy of me. If you look to save your life, I'm paraphrasing it with my bad English, okay? But you know what I'm talking about. The one who seeks to save his soul will lose it. Not now, but at that great day. And the great day of the Lord is very near. It's becoming nearer and nearer and nearer, in my humble opinion. That generation will not pass by till all those things are fulfilled. I do believe that the generation started in our days, especially with the establishment of Israel. But you don't need to. I know about all the doctrines of the smarties. Generations is 40, 30, 70 years. Leave it for God, for God's sake. Leave the details to God and start doing. Because faith without deeds is dead. And I don't care how many times you repeated the sinner prayer. So sorry. If you are not acting like Yeshua, or rather, if you don't let Yeshua live through you, being humble, mourn with those who are mourning, cry with those who cry, give shelter to those who need it. Be Yeshua! It's just as simple. You're not going to make it if you're not. Too heavy of a message? I want to tell you one last thing. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall inherit the kingdom. Blessed those who are mourning, yeah? Etc. The Beatitudes. Beloved, too many Christians, they know the Beatitudes by heart. But do they practice them? Do they walk the talk? No. You know why? Because all the Beatitudes speaks about death to self. All the Beatitudes. When you think that you are filled with the Spirit, watch it. Because blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Are you with me? Happy, 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 happy. Watch it. Because blessed are those who are mourning. Ah, am I so good? Watch it. Blessed are the meek. Are you with me? It's so simple. Just follow, for God's sake, what Yeshua did. Was Yeshua pride? Was Yeshua macho? No! He was actually kind of, today you would use not so nice words, so I will not use them. But you know what I mean? You know, this child which let all the other children beat him, you know, and never gives back? Yeshua was like this. And he expects us to be like this. To give up completely on ourselves and let him live through us. Hallelujah is coming. I told you I'm going to finish with an encouraging note. If you will notice that you are poor in spirit, which means you need him more, you need more of him, more of him. Please enable me. You are in a good position. Because then the Holy Spirit will use you. Hallelujah. The problem is when you think everything is good. Everything is perfectly ordered and nice. Watch it. And what is your plumb line? Yeshua's little brethren. Watch it. Watch with whom you are siding. Are you with me? Watch whom you are feeding. Whom you are giving shelter to, etc., etc. I really, really hope that all of us, including myself and Gabby, will be among the sheep one day. Blessed are you. Good and faithful servant, come to the kingdom. So simple. You don't need to be a PhD theologian. to do those things. So practical, so simple. Amen. Amen. We love you.
For more information, visit us at www.etzheim.org. That's spelled EITZ-CHAIM.org. Or join us in Richardson, Texas for our weekly Shabbat services.